Wade Rasky with the Chief Organizer's Report. Trump, Escobar, and El Chapo. Impunity and immunity. We'd watched a couple of the Netflix narco shows that are a fictionalized take on some surreal or semi-real events involving Pablo Escobar, the Medellin, Colombia drug czar. Recently, we've done a deeper dive and are now halfway through the second year. It seems so unreal and of a different time that we could pretend it was more entertainment than reality show. Escobar was a case study, if anyone was watching, of someone with resources who believes he's above the law even as he embraces being a bandido. He had a hardcore base among the poor in the barrios of Medellin that was willing to overlook crazy violence and hold him up as a Robin Hood. He believed he could negotiate equally with the president of Colombia with an army at his command and could use his fighters, violence, and money to secure his own separate peace and his own narcissistic peace of the world. Now we'll have to watch the rest of the episodes for tips in understanding our world in the wake of the latest news from Mexico. As reported by the New York Times, the violence began shortly after 3:30 p.m. in the city of Culiacan, the capital of Sinaloa State, when a patrol of 30 soldiers came under attack by individuals in a home in the neighborhood of Tres Rios, according to government officials. After taking control of the home, the security forces encountered and detained four men, among them Ovidio Guzman Lopez, a leader in the Sinaloa cartel, son of El Chapo, Joaquin Guzman Lara, the drug boss. Cartel gunmen then surrounded the home and engaged the armed forces, the officials said. Later, the cartel deployed fighters throughout the neighborhood and began burning vehicles and blockading streets throughout the city. Gunfire continued into the night as soldiers and cartel fighters battled in the streets. In its brief statement, the government said it had opted to suspend its operation, but did not elaborate on what exactly that meant. Later, it became clear through local media that the government forces had indeed released Guzman Lopez back into the custody of the cartel. We hadn't realized that the Narcos show was a watered-down version of the drug wars, that this level of impunity was as narcotic as the drugs being dealt. Of course, we see the same level of impunity from President Trump these days, along with his entitled feeling of being immune to any legal or institutional norms. Threatened to impeach him for a solicitation of yet another foreign country, Ukraine, to further his personal politics, and he doubles down and asks China to investigate and help him. Accused him of personal self-dealing, and he selects his Trump Doral Hotel Resort in Florida as a location for the 2020 G7 meeting of world leaders that he gets to host next year. Telling him that there is legal protection for whistleblowers, and he announces in every forum that he's looking for this guy. Accused him of violating the emolument section of the Constitution and receiving benefits for his service past his salary, and he spends 308 days, or one-third of the time in office, to date staying at one of his personal properties and conducts numerous meetings in his hotel in Washington, D.C. Accused him of selling out the Kurds on a whim to help his dictator buddies, and after years of partnership, he says the Kurds are no angels, while standing tall with some of the world's worst devils. Escobar, the Guzmans, and the Trumps may use slightly different means, but their view of the ends is the same. Whatever's best for them, the devil take the hindmost, laws don't matter, governments come and go, and it's all about them. Immune to any other opinions, standards, or norms, it's their way or the highway with absolute impunity. Catch me if you can. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.